Please kneel. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with an opportunity to come together, even though we probably could have started this an hour ago, Father, as you know, but we don't know what's going on, and so we're trying our best to figure things out. And so please keep us online so that we can do this study that we're about to go into. And hopefully the internet gets fixed, you know, sometime during the study so that we can do testimony. And they give a blessing to everyone on our prayer list, especially those prayers that were put in to the text chat earlier, an hour ago, and maybe even now, I don't know. From an hour ago. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us with this trial and helping us find a way to be permanently connected to where we won't have any issues. And we offer this prayer in the name of your precious Son, our Savior, our King for eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, I didn't set anything up yet because I didn't know what was going to happen. So let me get... my recording software going. Let me shut down my. And where are my notes? Oh, there they be. All right, now. This will work. But it might take a moment. I'm going to say this before I start recording. So let me put that. Okay, that's lit. All right, so I'm going to put something in the text chat here. For those of you on WTPR, get a pen handy because you're going to need this next week. You know, we're going to be doing this for a while. Let's see, she can't hear me, so Vanessa, use this link to hear. Okay, wait, let me get the link. Okay, where is it in here? WTPR. Okay, where's the text chat? There it is. There. Does anybody hear me on WTPR? Okay, good. All right, so they can hear me. So I guess some people aren't used to going to WTPR, so click. Well, they can't hear me. If somebody would please repeat what I just put in the room there. I also put another link in that bypasses the WTPR page. Let me see if I can find where I put that. I think I'm just going with a, 778, I think was the, oh, I know where it's at. Yeah, 778. Let me just see if I can get that to 778. Just go for the, okay, that did it. All right, let me. It's spinning. It might take 10 seconds. All right. Or use this link to listen to WTPR. Oops. How did the parentheses get in there? Yeah. Okay. You just put the 778 at the end of it. And hopefully Vanessa and Marie and anyone else that can't hear, if you guys could just repeat this, put this stuff in the text chat for them or PM them. Well, they might not even know how to do the PMs, you know, because really this software is awful. It just has a little blinking blue ball up there, and unless you read the entire manual, what on earth is that blue ball doing blinking up there? Okay, let's see. I got some. Yeah, Yeah. Well, we did that Q&A thing last week, Sister Denise. Oh, that's right. We just did a live Q&A. We didn't do the Q&A that I had already set up. I don't know. It's up to you. I'll leave that up to you. We can go into the Christ and His righteousness study, or we can do the Q&A that I already prepared that we were never able to do last week, or we can do a live Q&A like we did last week, you know, where we just answer questions. It's up to you all. A little of each. Okay. Somebody kick him out of the room. Because I don't even know how I would do that, bro. But a little of each. Okay. Q&A. The prepared Q&A or just live, just regular live type of Q&A like we usually do when we can't do internet. I got to tell you there, bro. So, because, yeah, it was last week, right? Let me go check this. If you go to the website, if you can get there, and then click the gold gift box on the top left corner, and then click most current service on the yeah, last week, the 26th of July, we had tech issues, and so we just did Q&A and fellowship live. But I have company here, and so I can only do whatever we decide to do for, you know, 30 to 45 minutes. And so, yeah, I can't do that. All that. I just don't know. Let me just look at what I have. Yeah, because we were supposed to do that. Okay, let's see. Back to the top. Yeah, because the neat thing about doing the Q&A that I already prepared is if it messes up or you can't hear, there's always a transcript, well, for the most part, on the website because the Q&A page. Date and I haven't done yet. Where is it? There it is. Yeah, well, we don't have a sermon planned for this week, Sister Marie. It was testimony service. And so, you know, I'm thinking the devil's trying to stop the Christ and His righteousness thing. You know, so that's where I'm going to go. So let me turn on the recorder. We're going to do the regular sermon. I might even put this transcript, of course, I don't have the complete transcript, my notes. I'll put my notes on the website like I've done before. But even though, like say with the sanctuary service, that was a little over 2 years. But if you look at the transcript on the website, it's looks like to be 1 year because I ad-lib like a lot. Okay. So Christ and His righteousness. And so here, I'm going to put this PDF in the room. See, that's the only downfall with doing the Christ and His righteousness thing. Can everybody get their hands on that PDF I just put in the room? Click that link I just put in the room, and you're going to have to scroll to a certain page and wait for it. And I want to hear when everybody is, you know, ready. And with those of you on WTPR, get your pencil or pen handy. It's going to be remnantofgod.org/, you know, for the PDF. It's going to be /CAHR. you know, Christ and his righteousness. So CAHR.PDF. And then you type that in. And okay, good. And we got a lot of people on WTPR, so it looks to be fairly stable. Says forbidden. Okay, hold on, let me find it. Oop. Yeah, the devil's up to something. My WordPress, or not WordPress, but my notes just crashed. The fear of the Lord, where is that? Seeing closer, walking to. Oh, there it is, Christ and his righteousness. And now I got to scroll back to where I was, and I'll get that PDF copy. And let me paste it in a different browser here just to make sure. Oh, there's a space there. It says forbidden. Okay, hold on. I can get into the server from here. I'm sorry, everybody. This is just, this shows me that the devil really doesn't want us to do this. And so we're doing it. So I think it's on drive C. Server htdocs. And then I'm looking for CHR, so F3 it. CHAR. Come on, you can do it. Seen you do it before. CHAR. It's not in there. CHAR. JPEG's in there. It somehow got deleted. Because it was in there last week, if you all recall. CHAR. Let me see if I can fix this. All right, I'm going to try the impossible. I'm going to try to do an upload. Oh, man. It just never ends. How about it? Okay, let me try to get CH. Okay, I got charta.htm. I can't remember what that was for. Charta. Yes, I just sneezed. All right. Okay, let me check. Go back to my main system here. Check my hard drive. Go to C. Oh, no, that's not where I got everything. It's on this other guy, this other hard drive. And go to C-H-A. Oh, no, Christ and his righteousness. So it's going to be C-A-H. This is about as exciting as pulling a tooth. Let's see here. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Hold on. I found it. And let's see. Let me go back to the server. Light up the FTP. Let me just check something real quick. It's got to be gone. Found it. Okay. And bam. All right. Try that link now. You can't refresh a forbidden page. Oh, sorry. You'll have to click the link in the room. The forbidden page takes over the URL. So. Oh, Brother Michael posted it? Oh, he got it to where you can download it. Even better. Thanks, bro. And for those of you that have slow internet, try just clicking that link again in the room? I want to find it, though. I got to find the link. There it is. Okay, it's back up. All right, so. I just got to do one more thing. I'll be right back, and then we're starting. I don't care what the enemy of souls is trying to do. We're going to do it. Okay, everybody's all set up out there. Let me get my order on. Boy, oh boy. Okay, where's my headphones? Okay, now hopefully everybody's on the same page. Let's see, Arthur put that. Okay, good. Arthur just put. So, yeah, if you want it, Arthur just put. Okay, now here's how you do it, Sister Mindy. When you're on that page, I'm going to put something in the text chat here, and I'll just tell everybody on WTPR what to type. Go to that PDF. All right? Go to the PDF and type in what I just put in the text chat, which is on WTPR, listen, please, all five words with a comma. I'm sorry. There is one text, comma, however. Or you could just put, there is one text. But you got to hit F3 first when you're on the PDF. When you hit F3, a search box comes down. And then you type in, there is one text. And that's where we start. And what page is that? Page 2 or page 6. It says page 2 of 59. I don't know. You know, the pagination is different from what PDFs on the left say. So it's page 2 on page 2 and almost the last paragraph. So and that, but hopefully everybody's on the same page now. Let me get back in the text chat if I can find it. There it is. There is one text, comma, however. Or you could just put in there is one text, and you're going to be exactly where we left off last, well, two Sabbaths ago, because we didn't do this last week at all. So let me get the recorder going. Oh, before we do that, click, click. I don't know how stable this is going to be. I can't reach it. My internet's garbage right now. Okay, good. Brother Michael just put a link in the room to go to his stream on YouTube. That stream is up. I am so sorry. I forgot about that. So, yeah, the POGM stream, the Twitch stream is down. But as a matter of fact, I'm going to change that page this week where I'm going to have POGM, Twitch, and then Brother Michael's stream all together in that one section. So if my stream goes down or Twitch goes down, we still got Brother Mike. So, all right. So we're good there. So, yeah. So if you're in the room, just click that link Michael put in there, and we're good to go. So, okay. It is April 2nd, 2022, Sabbath day, obviously. And we are still in Christ and His righteousness. We're on page 2, as a matter of fact. And if you have the PDF file, just go to page 2, and you're almost on the last paragraph, which starts with the words, there is one text. It's paragraph 2, page 7, according to the internal pagination of the PDF. But if you look to your left, when the PDF comes up, it'll show page 2. So the pagination is different than the way PDF does it. It's kind of like what I did a video last week, as a matter of fact, in regards to something. I don't even remember. But I put on, you got to go to page 237. Oh, that's right. The Vatican's, you know, the Pope's, what is it, Laudato Si. I said go to page 237. But when you get there, it looks like there's only like 150 pages. Yeah, they purposely mix up the page nation. You got to go to page 237 inside the page. They got two sets of numbers. So look for the numbers that are inside the paragraphs. Kind of like the way Ellen White, you know, the White Estate does it. Everybody mixes up the page nation. It's obviously just to try to confuse things. So anyway, we're on paragraph two, page seven on the original setup. And it says, there is one text, however, which briefly sums up all that Christ is to man and gives the most comprehensive reason for considering him. It is this, and it's from 1 Corinthians 1:30, which says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then he goes on to say that we are ignorant, wicked, lost. Christ is to us wisdom, righteousness, and redemption. What a range. Amen to that, huh? What a range. And so from ignorance and sin to righteousness and redemption, man's highest aspiration or need cannot reach outside the bounds of what Christ is to us and of what he alone is to us. Sufficient reason, this is why the eyes of all should be fixed upon him. But notice what Sister White said way back in 1894. This might clarify things a little bit in regards to where he's going with this. And it's in 1894 in the Review and Herald, and I'm going to put it in the room here. Okay, let me copy it. And those of you on WTPR, I'll give you the source if you actually have the big green books or the DVD. So copy. And, oh, good, it fit. All right. But it didn't show up. Is my internet that bad? Oh, it just showed up now. Wait, I got to go back to the server here for a second. Okay, yeah, good, everybody's still there. I thought maybe I lost everybody on WTPR. So I obviously must have fallen out of the text chat for a moment, but now it's in the room. And for those of you, again, this we're on page. The quote I'm about to read from the Review and Herald is Review and Herald, June 26, 1894, paragraph 8. And it says this. Where does it start? It says, if Christ is abiding in the heart, because that's where Wagoner was going there for a minute ago, if Christ is abiding in the heart, his love will diffuse itself to others through its possessor and will bring heart to heart. I'll get back to that in a moment. The grace of Christ must be the sole dependence of the Christian. And when it is, now, this is where a lot of people have, you know, a little bit of confusion, I guess. But when it is, well, let me reread it. The grace of Christ must be the sole dependence of the Christian. And when it is, he will love his brethren as Christ has loved him. Then he can say, come and beseech and woo souls, entreating them to be reconciled to God. His influence will be more and more decided, and he will devote his life to Christ, who was crucified for him. See, this is what happens to all of us. Once we make that final decision that, you know, like I was telling a buddy of mine many years ago, and he, as a matter of fact, I told him again recently about a year and a half ago. We don't talk much because he still, whenever we talk on the phone, he goes, you don't drink? What do you do for fun? And I'm thinking, you know, he's still not getting it, right? And I always tell him, you know, come on, you're about to be, you know, because he's considerably younger than me. I think I got him by 7-8 years. I says, you know, I got to talk in his language, and so I say, dude, isn't it getting old yet? You wake up with a hangover. You go out and you drink, and you wake up with a hangover. You go out and drink, and then you wake up with a hangover. Isn't it getting old? why don't you give Christ a chance? I mean, every time you turn around, all these things are happening here, that's happening there. It's all because of the things you know you're doing wrong that you don't want to do. Ain't it getting old? I mean, isn't there, don't you want to at least try a different lifestyle? I mean, just give Jesus a chance for 1 month. Just to see what happens. Yeah. I figured 1 week to do it, but, you know, give him a month. So anyway, she says, he will devote his life to Christ who was crucified for him. Where love is perfected, the law is kept, and self finds no place. You like that? When you love Jesus perfectly, the law is kept. Why? Well, because he wrote the law on your heart. And self finds no place. In other words, I don't care what my flesh wants to do. His law said I can't do that. And so you just don't do it. That's what's called sacrificing for Christ. Everybody wants to know, how do you sacrifice for him today? We no longer take lambs and bring them into the sanctuary and kill it. Well, you quit smoking, you quit drinking, you quit doing drugs, you quit porn, you quit all sorts of crazy things, right? You sacrifice. Yeah, it's going to be a little rough. It's like fasting, you know? Try that. You know, okay, so most Christians know what it is to not eat for a few days because you want to, you know, get your walk stronger and focus a little more on your prayer and understand the word better or whatever. Whatever reason you have to fast, you just don't eat for a day or two or three or whatever. Well, try this. And it works. I've tried this with myself with certain areas that I have issue. But let's say you got an issue with porn. Fast porn. Just fast it for 1 month. Don't do it for 1 month. And promise the Lord. Say, you know, I'm not going to do it for a month. And every time it comes up, remind yourself, yep, I fasted. Or alcohol or cigarettes, whatever the case may be. Just fast for a while. Just give it up. That's sacrificing it. She goes on, those who love God supremely, and that's what she meant by self finds no place. Once you get to a point where the fasting is no longer an issue, you just say, no, I'm not going to do it because it, right there is law. And, you know, like what if I get hit by a drunk driver and with this unconfessed sin that I'm committing as I speak kind of a thing, you know? You can't get to heaven with an unconfessed sin, right? And so she goes on. She says, those who love God supremely work, suffer, and live for him who gave his life for them. We can keep the law only through making the righteousness of Christ our own. Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. When we receive the heavenly gift, the righteousness of Christ, we shall find that divine grace has been provided for us and that human resources are powerless. Think about that. That's why I never ask for donations. I don't like to bring it up because some people think, oh, he's asking for a donation every time he says, no, I'm not. Because one guy actually told me, he says, you know, watch it, you know, or I can't remember what he said. He says, you know, you keep, people actually think that I mentioned that because I'm kind of like stealthily asking for a donation. No, I'm not. Don't need the money, okay? We don't need it. You know, I don't need anything from mankind. I only need that which the Lord allows. And so I ask him. Human resources are powerless to me. I can't go to mankind for anything. You know, I go to God first. And then he tells me if there's someone in the church family, if there's someone in my family that can help in this area, that area, that name will come up while I'm praying for help in whatever, you know. And so she goes on. She says, Jesus gives the Holy Spirit in large measure for great emergencies to help our infirmities, to give us strong consolation, to illuminate our minds, and purify and ennoble our hearts. Christ becomes unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. So she went a little further than Wagner, but it's more or less the same thing. I love that this all intertwines with what Wagner said, because she declared that his sermon, the areas regarding mostly, you know, as a matter of fact, next Sabbath, if we have internet, she does mention that the sermon, Christ in His Righteousness, was inspired of God. It was a Holy Spirit-inspired sermon, which was rejected by the SDA leaders in 1888. But she also states that there are portions of it that she doesn't agree with 100%, you know. And it's just minuscule things, you know. And we're going to come across one next week on page 9. And some of you already know it, because I was asking a couple of the brothers in regards to what the Lord has revealed to them on page 9. And we'll get to that, because on page 9, Wagoner has a tendency to say something, but you got to keep in mind, he's preaching to a bunch of pastors. And so he doesn't really have to explain, sir. It's just common knowledge among leaders, right? And so, and that's why I'm going to go and explain everything to the best of my ability with the sermon, because I think the whole church family needs to hear this, not just the pastors, right? And so, but yeah, this is where I believe the theology of Jesus isn't God and the Holy Spirit doesn't exist kind of got some legwork back then in the 1888 message, because he later explains on page 21 what he meant on page 9. But if those people that took that page 9 comment used it and it alone, they didn't let anybody know about page 21 so they could say that Jesus isn't God. So anyway, continuing. We'll get into that next week, maybe. So, continuing, it says here on Review and Herald, from the first to the last of the Christian life, not one successful step can be taken without Christ. He has sent his Spirit to be with us constantly, and by confiding in Christ to the uttermost, surrendering our will to him, we may follow him with us wherever he goes. And some people might, the thought just came to mind, some people says, oh, look, he's under Spirit, so that proves it's just a thought process between him and the Father. No, it's just like the Father saying he sent his Son. You know, they're in agreement. They're all on the same page, but we got plenty of that. We can back up with scriptures and SOP reference and stuff like that. All right, so... And yeah, every now and then the sound will go bye-bye on WTPR. You might fall out. Just give it a moment. It will come back. Or the best thing, like what Sister Minnie just put in the text chat, go to Brother Michael's YouTube page. All right, so after reading all that I did here in Review and Herald, and for those of us that study the Word, we all know, to say we follow Christ whithersoever he goeth is to echo that which was penned in Revelation 14:4, right? And which says, and this is in regards to the Gideon band, or the 144,000, as the Bible calls them. We like to, at least I like to call them the Gideon band, because of I like to compare them with Gideon's men and how the Lord whittled them down to the men that the only ones that were absolutely unequivocally serious about their walks. And so it says this in Revelation 14:4. These are they that were, which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And as we know in prophecy, women are churches. And then it says, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Amen. How about that? And so now do you see why the already in 1888, the already corrupt SDA leaders way back in 1888 rejected this message. Satan had a hold on them by moving them to place their own flesh above the truth that would have set them free from their flesh in the first place. The devil knew that placing Christ before the people in a beautiful and truth filled manner, as the truth presented was written to do in this sermon, it would destroy much, if not all, he worked, regarding his plans towards diminishing Christ in the eyes of the people so as to prevent them from not emulating Jesus in their day-to-day lives. The dying God of all that is apostate knew if the love of Christ was displayed before the people, God's people, as this 1888 sermon was written to do, many precious souls would be gained to Christ, and Satan's trophy case of apostate victims would get emptier and emptier, if that's a word. Okay? Thanks, someone. Hey, Fred, remember when we were talking about how someone stops by once in a while? All right, so isn't that neat? So, but yeah, in the text chat there. And so, getting back. when Satan's trophy case is emptied, the attack is on. Or when it starts to empty, the attack is on. And because Ellen White made it clear that they were in sin, check this out. And I just found this out last night because I wanted to get some dates on this. I wanted to get why and when they literally kicked her out, banished her to Australia to try to shut her up. I mean, think about it, because I looked for the dates and I found the dates. And yes, she was banished to Australia to try to shut her up. She was there for 9 years. The first year was 1891. What does that tell you? She tried to warn them in regards to what the 1888 message said for quite a few years. What here? 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. She was in trying to warn them for 3 years in the church. And so they sent her off to Australia from 1891 to the year 1900. And yes, they banished her. And it worked. Why? Because women had no rights back then. Women's liberation wasn't a thing until the 60s, right? And why do you suppose it was like that? Well, Satan knew the prophecy of Joel about a woman stepping up to prophesy in the last days. So if you make it to where the women doesn't have certain rights, they can do like they did. He says, you got to go here, you got to go, and you got to listen to us because we're the men. And some people will jump up and say, whoa, hold on a second here. She's married to James White. He's going to step up. Yeah, but he died 10 years earlier. They kicked her out in 1891. James White died in 1881. I never knew that. I found it out last night. And so I'm thinking in my heart of hearts that the only reason they sent her off to Australia is the same reason I got kicked off the SDR board when we used to be associated with those people on the West Coast, because I wouldn't shut up. I says, we can't keep playing church. You guys are taking 9 weeks. Or no, 9 months. Oh, I'm sorry. It was 18 months to get a newsletter out when Ellen White in her day with movable type got one out every week. You know what movable type is? You take the letter T that's made of metal and place it upside down and backwards, or backwards on a block. Then you take the letter H and do the same thing. Then you take the letter E and do the same thing. Why? Because now you got the word the. That's movable type. We've got printers, and we couldn't get a newsletter out for 18 months. And so I kept complaining. I said, we got to stop playing church. Stop with these meetings. Let's get busy on this. So they kicked me off the board. And, you know, wasn't long after that, they, you know, we left. Or, you know, well, everybody knows what happened in 2012. That's when the Lord opened our eyes to something that was going on for 3.5 years. And so that was Achan number one. But anyway, when speaking of Christ's love, Sister White said that his love, like she said, like I just read here a moment ago, his love will diffuse itself to others through its possessor. The exact moment I read that statement, one verse immediately came to mind. I think this happened last night because I was looking at my notes again last night, hoping we'd do this today, and we did. And that verse is 1 Corinthians 7:14, and I'll wait for it to be put in a room because we got lag. And so, oh, no, that's not going to work, Dwayne, that link you just put. That is a local link on that kind of like on a server or on my home system. That's look at the word file in the front. That won't work. So if somebody's having an issue, please PM them, because it keeps moving my eyes over there to see if there's a problem. Just PM them if someone's having an issue. Okay, thank you. Because we can't be texting during church services, even though we're having all these technical issues and stuff like that. Just PM the person, and hopefully they know how to use the PMs. All right? Well, maybe that's probably why they probably don't know how to use the PMs. You know, brothers and sisters, I think, you know, I'm going to, with everything else is going on, I'm going to look for a better chat room, a better text chat. This is a joke to try to explain to people how to use this text chat. You know, and I had to pay for this. So anyway, but there it is, 1 Corinthians 7:14. This was the verse that came to mind after I heard Sister White say, his love will diffuse itself to others through its possessor. Okay? So, but yeah, I think, yeah, just don't bother with the PMs. Just ignore what I said earlier. You guys are trying to help Sister Vanessa or anybody else. Go ahead and put it in the text chat like you've been doing, because, like I said, she might not know how to use those, that little blinking blue ball up there. Because I got a PM now, and I'm not going to look at it right now. Although I should put up the volume. Why is there music playing? You guys hear music when I'm... Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, good. You do hear the music all the time. During the entire sermon as I was talking? Did you hear music the entire time I was doing the sermon? Oh, my God. And why didn't anybody say anything? Oh, you just heard it now? Okay, good. All right. Yeah, good. Yeah, because I just turned it up. Okay, good. All right, yeah, because I don't use stereo mix for just that reason. You have something running in the background, and I'm on a mic, and I don't know. Okay, praise God. Good. All right, boy, that almost aged me out of 40 years of growth. All right, so getting back, I'm going to reread my notes on this all over again. When she said his love will diffuse itself to others through its possessor, in other words, when a Christian finds Christ, the love of Christ just emulates out of them. When I read her statement on that, 1 Corinthians 7:14 came to mind, which says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. That's one of those floating off the Bible, glow-in-the-dark kind of verses. I mean, think about it. Whether the wife be the first or the husband be the first to be converted to Christ doesn't matter. That's up to Jesus, and it's up to whoever's more serious, all right? And you can't get jealous of somebody finding Christ before or even after. You can't fly with the pride, because then you're not a Christian. You're not even trying to be, because it's all about the flesh at that point. And so whether the wife is the Christian first, like which happened to be the case with me, Fran found Christ first and then prayed for me, and then, you know, and I've always noticed her gentle ways, and, you know, even when I was being super jerk, she was still super gentle. So whether the wife be the first, because that affected me. And so whether the wife becomes Christian first or the man becomes Christian first, the unbelieving spouse is going to see the love of Christ in their believing spouse. And they are going to be blessed with a way to find Jesus as Savior easier than most, because they're actually living with a real Christian. See, that's the beauty of, you know, being married to a Christian. Sure, you can find Christ without being married, but if one is married to a spouse that eventually becomes a Christian, then you have a real Christian praying for you that loves you dearly. And no, I am not by any means saying you can marry a non-believer so as to convert them later, because in so doing is sin. That's clear disobedience unto God. You cannot yoke unequally. 2 Corinthians 6:14, Amos 3:3, I think, or 2 Thessalonians. Well, here, let me read you 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And so a Christian woman can't marry a non-believing man, and vice versa. And but two non-believers, like Fran and I, we were Catholics, and so we weren't Christians when we got married. And even though I, you know, it just, or look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 and 14. It says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us, And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. And the reason I read that too is because some Christian women and some Christian men have actually emailed or called me and said, after they found Christ, they think they should divorce their spouse because they won't accept Christ as Savior. No, it doesn't say that in the scripture. You withdraw yourselves from every brother or sister. You don't withdraw yourselves from every husband or wife. You married an unbeliever as an unbeliever. The Lord moved on you first. Now you have a duty. And just to reflect Christ as best you can, even if it means just putting a smile on your face when they expect a frown. That will affect them. And just one more. Second John 1. Yeah, 2 John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. It says, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, like we would say today, oh, who bring not this doctrine, you know how the old-fashioned King James talk. So if there be any among you that comes unto you that brings not this doctrine, it says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. In other words, you're condoning his sinful actions from that day forward when you say Godspeed. Verse 11 says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds, which means you're condoning him. And so, but like I said earlier, my wife and I were not Christians when we got married. We thought we were. We were both Catholic, as I said, and we went to church every week, actually every holy day of obligation. And then, of course, the last couple of 4 years of our Catholic walk, we went daily. But it wasn't until we opened up a Bible that we discovered who Jesus was. Catholicism does not teach Jesus Christ. It just can't. 86.2%, and yes, that's because I used to teach Catholic doctrine. I went back into the books they gave me to use, and I researched them out. 86%, little over 86% of those books are paganism, not found in Scripture. And so, Catholicism does not teach Jesus, and so we were Christians. In fact, nearly every church on earth teaches Catholicism now. You know, and this includes the SDA Church. As their 1980 change, remember what it says in Proverbs, don't be with, like in today's language would say, don't be joining with those who are into change, because our God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But yet the SDA Church changed their statement of faith. Yeah, I got a video on it where I show on one side the old statement of faith and on the other side all the blank spots and then the new stuff, like the Trinity, for example. That's not the only thing they added to, by the way. And so, but if I was to ask people on the street a few questions, you know, that I could show them all how they're Roman Catholic without even knowing it, I would ask them questions kind of like this, and I kind of made a short list here. Just a few questions. Do you attend church on Sunday? If yes, you're Catholic. Because they invented it. They even have it in writing that they invented. It's their mark of authority over the Bible. Why? Because the Bible thumpers, they call them, or fundies, say that they got to go by the Bible and the Bible alone, but yet there's no Bible verses that say Sunday's the Sabbath, but yet they're all keeping Sunday holy, so that proves they're above the Bible, because they're all keeping the doctrine of the Vatican, who invented Sunday Sabbath. And so, yeah, you're Catholic if you keep Sunday holy. Do you believe you can be saved while still in sin? Because that's Catholic theology. Just go to confession, say the Hail Mary 20 times, or the Our Father, or an act of contrition, or kneel down on lima beans, whatever the case may be, or like St. Therese, wear barbed wire around your waist so every time you breathe in, you prick yourself. Or John F. Kennedy wearing a camel hair shirt underneath his shirt so that he itches all day so as to repent for all the sins he was doing. That's not Christianity. That's paganism. So they think they can be saved in their sins. You know, they commit their sins, they go and confess it to a priest, and then they go back to doing their sins and hope they stay alive so that the next time they go to confession, they can confess again. But in case they die before they get to the next confession, they put on a scapular. that Simon Stock was given by a demon calling itself Mary one day. I used to wear a scapular every day. John Paul II demanded, do not cut the scapular off from around my neck as you do surgery on me. Remember when he got shot? Him and Reagan got shot the same day, or same year? Well, it's because they were both involved in pulling down the Soviet Union. And so, do you believe you can be saved while still in sin? Well, then you're Catholic. Do you believe Easter, Christmas, or even St. Patrick's Day are all Christian holidays? Well, then you're Catholic. Those are all pagan holidays. Do you believe people that die are in heaven immediately or in hell immediately? Well, if you do, then you're Catholic. Do you believe people burn in hell for all eternity? Then again, you're Catholic. And finally, if you believe in certain things, and there's just quite a few of these fake prophecies of the Vatican, but just a few would be like the secret rapture, the 1,000 years of peace, or even a 7-year tribulation. If you believe in those things, then you're Roman Catholic. And why do I say that? Everything I just asked in regards to these questions, all of them, or even the so-called prophecies, were all taught first by the Roman Catholic Church that are found absolutely nowhere from Genesis to Revelation. It's nowhere in the Bible. And so when Christ is allowed to enter into the heart of a man or a woman, they cannot hide the fact that the Holy Spirit has a hold on their hearts. Better yet, even as a babe in Christ, certain areas of the Bible that made no sense before can make perfect sense now. And no, you're not going to be a theologian on day one. It's just like when you walk into McDonald's and demand you own the place day one. No, you got to start flipping burgers first. You got to learn. You got to walk into Christ in this. You do daily Bible study. But you'll notice as a babe in Christ, some things that you used to struggle with now are making more sense. He's opening up. He's sitting there with you. You don't believe me? Look in the book of John. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. You read the Word, you're hearing Him talk. Regardless if Isaiah's saying something, because he's speaking through Isaiah. It's called the rabbinic code. Sister White had it too. That's what got some rabbis to become Christians. When they asked the Seventh-day Adventist leaders, where did Ellen White learn the rabbinic code? As if they could even answer that question. You can't learn it. It's the writing style of the creator of the universe. It's just like Shakespeare has a certain style the way he writes. Or even better yet, forget all the secular authors. Isaiah had a certain style the way he wrote. Daniel wrote with a certain style. Jeremiah wrote with a certain style. But all of them, all the patriarchs and prophets, anyone that put pen to parchment back then when the Bible was being penned, all of them had their own special styles on how they wrote. But they all also had a hidden style that you could find interwoven within their words. It's called the rabbinic code. It's God's style on how He writes. That you can't, there's no human on the planet that can write a book like that without God being involved. That's why I'm so amazed about the Bible. Even to this day, as many years as I've been reading it, every morning I still get new stuff to put in my notes. The Holy Spirit indwelt Christian is changed in a way that those around them can see it with their own eyes, even if they themselves cannot see it. And what I mean by that is when I found Jesus as Lord many years ago, I noticed the change deep inside me, yeah. I mean, how can any man or woman not see how one moment, you know, you wanted to do sinful things, and the next moment the very thought to do so repulsed you? Yeah. I knew for a fact the Holy Spirit did something quite shocking to me that day. And so because I no longer desired the sinful things I used to crave, but I had no idea that He changed me in a way that my outward walk was significantly different or even noticeable to those around me until a sibling told me he wanted my old personality back. It shocked me to the core when he said that. I thought, wow, I didn't know it was that obvious. You know, this is why I say to this day that the change of heart brought on by Jesus Christ for the sinner that finally lets go to let God run their lives is the most powerful miracle a man or a woman could ever witness. I tried for nearly 2 years to clean up my act day after day, and I failed over and over again. But it wasn't until I just had enough and made the conscious decision that I needed to let Jesus be in complete control of my life, because what I was trying just wasn't working. I try to not do this or not do that, and I'd not do it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, back doing it. And then I have to drop to my knees and repent and ask for forgiveness. I had no strength to not do it. Whatever, you know, I was doing. I knew what I tried didn't work, and so I decided to let go and let God do it. It was then that my heart changed from night to day in an absolute instant. I knew he was the only one that could do it anyway, as I know what I tried to do daily for 18 months. I had to give him that chance because I knew that what I was trying wasn't working. And so unless we truly let go and let God have the reins in life, we're never going to see Christ our righteousness or even Christ our righteousness in us. That change will never come. And if that change never comes, we're not going to be able to overcome our sin in any way. Or because without overcoming, we cannot even hope to receive the latter rain that is prophesied to fall before the Pope is able to enforce his mark, of which he stated quite clearly he wants to start phase one, you know, the buy and sell thing, by the fall of 2027. And just a few days ago, and I put this on the website on Wednesday this week, the United Nations announced the world needs an early warning system to protect everyone on Earth from climate disasters. Now do you see why your cell phones keep updating? Now do you see why, like, we're like out here at AT&T, things are getting kind of wonky? They're reprogramming things to make it that much easier to track individually. They keep updating software. They keep on adding apps to your cell phone you can't delete or turn off. Remember the government alert system they put on last year and then tested it? They act as if they want to protect you by making sure 100% of every cell phone has the means to track and warn everyone no matter where they're at when bad weather or a mudslide, or even some other disaster comes along. Most don't seem to realize that in order for that to work, they have to know exactly where each person on Earth is standing. You know, as a computer programmer, I know. If the phone knows where you're at, so will the authorities that seek to kill you for refusing the mark. We're that close, brothers and sisters. Seeing how we are so close to the return of our King, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Taking chances today wherein we puff on a cigarette, we sip a glass of wine, or glance at some porn, we have to realize that act may be our final chance to show the Lord we're really trying. Notice what she says here in Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, page 279, paragraph 2. Let me put it in the text chat here for you all, and it might take a moment to get in there because you can't fall out of the text chat, but boy, could it lag, I find. Oh, good. We don't have any lag right now on the text chat. And when I get done, I'm going to check everything and make sure everything's running right. And if it is, you know, the 5 o'clock, well, hopefully the 5 o'clock, they'll have it fixed by the 5 o'clock for, you know, Sean or Eli, whoever gets up. So, or the testimony service, hopefully, like when I'm done, I'm going to check and see if we can do the testimonies. So anyway, this is what it says, Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1. Page 279, paragraph 2. And I hope that you're focused right now because this is some scary stuff. Oh, praise the Lord, we got. Yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. So it says, I saw angels hurrying to and fro in heaven. An angel with a writer's inkhorn by his side returned from the earth and reported to Jesus that his work was done, and the saints were numbered and sealed. Now, nobody on the planet Earth's going to know, except maybe the Gideon Band. We're going to know if we're part of that number. But most people aren't going to know when plague one starts. It's just something that'll gradually come out as far as they know. It'll just, you know, they won't really realize. I mean, they're going to be planting and sowing and harvesting and giving and, you know, marrying and giving them. It's just, you know. I mean, sure, they're going to be dropping like flies as the plagues move forward. And not that many are going to, well, I would think most of the elite are still going to be alive because of those gigantic caves, especially like the one in Oregon. where the cave was already big enough to hold a small city, they set off a nuke, a small nuclear warhead in that cave to stretch it out a little more and then glassify the walls to where you won't even have pebbles falling on your head because that heat melted a lot of rock. And so, yeah, they're going to hide in there when it gets intense outside. Why? Well, check out Plague 5. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Plague 4 with the heat. Yeah. And Isaiah says it'll be seven times hotter. So if the planet can get up to 100 degrees in some areas, because I know it can get up to 122 in Australia, let's just say it gets up to 100. That means 700 degrees, but not going to be fun. But we are shielded from the noonday sun. Isn't that something? You know, the people of God. So anyway, she said this. The saints were numbered and sealed. And then she says, then I saw Jesus, who had been ministering before the ark containing the Ten Commandments, throw down the censer. You know, because that's, he says that he's our advocate right now. We're going through the great Day of Atonement, the spiritual Day of Atonement right now. He's in the most holy place, holding the censer, like our counselor, our lawyer, if you will. Every time we sin and we confess, his blood is placed upon it, if we confess it. Well, she says, he raised his hands and with a loud voice said, it is done. And all the angelic hosts laid off their crowns as Jesus made the solemn declaration we know is in Revelation. He said this, he goes, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. But then he also said, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Why? Plague 1 just started. If you haven't found Christ as Savior and Plague 1 has started, you remain unjust. You have no Savior for your sins. You will die in those plagues. And then die again 1,000 years later at the second death. But if you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and better yet, are alive during the plagues, you're part of the Gideon band. And you're going to remain righteous and holy. You cannot lose your salvation. That's when the bogus doctrine of the Baptist, of the saved, once saved, always saved, actually comes into play if you think about it, but it's not prophesied or taught that way. It's just a part of the reality that Satan likes to twist on. You know, kind of like the test. All right. Joe, thank you for recording this. Oh, no, he probably couldn't record it. It was probably all choppy. Oh, it was clear, so you're still, okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can't finish. I don't know if anybody can hear me at WTPR. I'm going to have to jump back on here, get over. You're not going to believe. All right, yeah. Test. Oh, good, they can hear me on WTPR. For some reason, it. All right, let's see. Yeah, Tim, it just. I don't know what's wrong here. I built this computer about a year and a half ago, and either the motherboard is bad or GPU. I've already tested out the GPU, and I couldn't get the system to run. What just happened on my computer is what happened last week when the hard drive died. But this time it's not a virus. And I'm thinking I just had those viruses there because they're viruses, you know. And I found 7 on the main system. I killed them all. And But I've got everything cloned out, so I'm good to go. But one of two things is going to happen this week. Because I have another high-end GPU that I tested and everything still wouldn't work. The only thing I could think of, I'm going to try reseeding the CPU because maybe I don't have enough paste on it between that and the cooler. And the cooler I got's monster size. It's almost the size of a basketball or a soccer ball. And so I don't even know where my notes are in regards to all this. Thank you for recording it, Joe. But pause it until I get back up here because I only got a little bit left to share. But this week if I can't find the problem, if Reese, because this happened right in the middle of a sermon, I got the BSOD, you know, blue screen to death. And then you got to wait 90 seconds for it to upload because I tried getting out of that. Well, I can push the power button and kill it, but then I'll have truncated files to deal with. So I just let it fly and do what it's got to do. But, if it's not reseating the CPU or even the CPU itself, it's the motherboard. And if that's the case, I'm done making videos because I am just going to buy a cheap junk little computer to do my work. And one that doesn't need a lot of whatever to be able to make videos and stuff. I want to be able to get out there and do this work. And the church service and stuff like that, and my studies that I do every day, and the emails and stuff that I do, that doesn't take this, like a monster system like I built, 32 gigs of DDR4 with, you know, a screaming AMD CPU and, you know, an RTX GPU. I mean, it's, and then a high-end motherboard. I'm done, I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to concentrate on trying to fix this thing this week. So let me see if my notes are still even there. Okay, the hard drive seems okay. Boy, I'll tell you, boy, that devil just ain't letting up, is he? Talk about a lowlife. Yeah, he's going to be underneath the ashes. His ashes are going to be underneath our feet for. Okay, I found out where I left off my notes. I was just, okay, if you want to kick up the recorder, because I know, let me just see if I put on the, yeah, it's not going to have, and I didn't save the recording, and so what I recorded is gone, and so, anyway, so after I just, read from Spiritual Gifts is when it happened. You know, I'm hoping I'm not getting hacked on top of everything else. I wonder if I should just go Mac or Linux. Problem with Linux is Camtasia don't work in Linux. Neither does Outlook, you know. So I'll have to redesign everything. I don't know. I wish there was better software out there to test my system. If anybody knows any good software I can use to test my system to see, I'll be looking too after Sabbath tonight to figure out what is causing these problems, other than Satan, obviously. So, as I was saying, finishing up that Spiritual Gifts quote, I even lost the text chat. Let me get back in the text chat at least. Where you be? Oh, and I don't know why it's showing monitor one. It's supposed to be paused. But monitor one, that's just a Bible study. Two of them I was working on, probation and Elijah message. Oh, that's the Elijah message thing that I was thinking to make of the DVD video. Oh, I did. I already made the video. So let me... That, for those of you on Turbo, when that screen pops up and it shows you what's on my desktop, yeah, that's what you're looking at. All right, let me go to the text chat. Seems a bit snappier. Let's see. Let me just do a speed test just for giggles. Okay, never mind. I'm not going to sit there and grow hair waiting on that. All right. Yeah, amen to that, Brother Gilbert. Amen to that. So, but yeah, I might even think about buying like, you know, a $400 computer and cloning it so that when things like, and cloning it every night. Oh, no, I can't. That's right. Because what if there's a virus? I'll be cloning the virus on over. All right, so I'll think of something. Never mind. Kind of like the dummy computer I used to use back in the Yahoo Messenger days. You know, hack me now. You're going to get the dummy. You're not going to get my computer. You're going to get the computer you think I'm using. So anyway, getting back where the Lord said it is done and he that is unjust is going to remain unjust and all that, and that he is holy is going to remain holy. We have to realize that that day is racing towards us right now on greased rails. And the very angel, that very angel, is right now out there keeping track of every person alive. I mean, the investigative judgment started on October 22nd, 1844, according to the prophet Daniel. We know this. We're all being judged as we speak. That's why we see, you know, the spiritual Day of Atonement. Because what happens at the end of the Day of Atonement? Yeah, sanctuary's cleansed. And you know, it's cleansed. Yeah, all the blood's taken off the veil and all that stuff. So since, in other words, that which Jesus did on the cross, it's final. That's why he says it is done. Even though he said it is finished at the cross, what is done 2,000 years later is everybody that's going to be saved is saved. And so since we don't know the exact day or hour of our Lord's return, we need to understand that the final prophecies can't fulfill sooner than even we realize, and judgment can end, and plague number one can begin, and for some of us that day can actually be today or tomorrow, as none of us know the day we're going to die, right? And yeah, the Pope keeps saying he wants 2027, but he's pushing the Great Reset for 2023, so, you know, his numbers can be wrong, or the day or the hour. The Lord might decide that, you know, Satan's going to have his buy and sell thing in 2025, for all we know. We don't know the day or the hour. We just know what's coming next. And so that means for any of us, our next test, be it cigarettes, porn, alcohol, drugs, anger, whatever the case may be, that means for any of us, our next test to refuse sin so as to walk in Christ or even try and walk away from it or even commit the sin, thinking it's okay to do one more time, may be the final test we pass or the final test we fail, which decides whether we live for eternity or die for eternity, whether we're going to be unjust and remain unjust or become holy and remain holy. If we pass, we will be blessed with eternal life. If we fail, then we're going to remain unjust and cursed with damnation, and then fated to be the ashes under the soles of the feet of those that did pass. There's no getting around how many end-time prophecies have been fulfilled in just the last 2 years alone. Absolutely everything the government and the church leaders have done openly, as well as behind closed doors, was done with a long prophesied purpose in mind. Most of them don't even know it. They actually think they're Christians, especially in the SDA church. I'm not talking about the Jesuits. I'm talking about these actual Seventh-day Adventist leaders that are in the church that are under the 501c3 or have multiple 501c3s themselves, like Doug Batchelor. Some of these guys think they're Christians. Some of these guys think they're obedient unto God, and they're not. It's not that I'm not reading their hearts. I'm just looking at their fruits to know them. I mean, what they did in 1980 was bad enough. Why those leaders didn't leave the church like many SDAs did is beyond me. You know, it's not like the end times just began, by the way. I mean, all of us have been living in the end of days since we were born. I mean, for the 2,300-year prophecy to come, it didn't come in our lifetime. It came in 1844. That's when it was finished. That's when the investigative judgment began. It's also stated that's when the end of days began. That's why we don't have dates on prophecy anymore. It was because of what's said in Revelation. Time shall be no more, which means we know what's coming next. We just aren't given dates anymore. Well, that side of, you know, Plague 6, but we get that one date in Plague 6, but that doesn't matter to them because no one on the planet's going to hear it. They're all going to hear thunder. The Gideon Band, you know, and all those that came up in the special resurrection, yeah, they hear the date. Everybody else is going to hear thunder. It's just like with when Jesus was baptized and the Father said, this is my beloved Son, you know, from the heavens. All the Christians heard the voice from the Father because they were believers. But all the wicked just heard thunder. Somebody just opened up my office door. Hello? Go by mommy. Go on. Go by mommy. No, no. Come on, go by. Yeah, I got lag, so you didn't hear me until now, huh? You figured out that doorknob. Attaboy. I do have a key. I can lock it, but I'll worry about that later. And so, we don't know the day we are. We know what's coming next, though. And so the powers that be are doing, and we know, as also prophesied, that the powers that be are doing all these crazy things in politics and the church leaders doing crazy things in the churches while everybody else is fixated on the political theater. They tagged a pandemic or the Ukrainian war. You know, since next to no one studies the Bible anymore, it's child's play for the powers that be to direct attention away from what the Bible said so as to make most people think it's just normal out there. I mean, I don't know how many times, because I remember when I was a kid, when especially in the first tornado that I was ever in, talking to my uncles, let's say, because I was always a question machine, they didn't experience tornadoes in their youth. And it just so happens my first one was an F5. But I knew about them for 2 years because my parents bought us the Encyclopedia Britannica. And so from the age of 10 to 12, I was reading everything I could on meteorology. I mean, I went first, of course, A to Z and got everything I could out of there because, you know, you didn't have video games back then. I figured, well, just as exciting to me. Because it wasn't schoolwork. That bored me to tears. And so, yes, this is also why this message of Christ and his righteousness was rejected in 1888. That same Christ-like fruit from the heart that sanctifies the unbelieving spouse to see Christ clearly in the believing spouse is the exact same Holy Spirit indwelt fruit that moves the people of God around us. The world over to seek out Jesus as Savior after they see peace in our eyes at the same time that they're experiencing abject terror. I mean, think about it. You know, this is one of the reasons the Vatican stopped burning people at the stake in the town square. They found every time they did that, 10 or 15 more strong Christians would pop up and start leaving the church and causing problems. Because that affects people. You know, think about it. You're sitting here watching Huss burn, and he's singing hymns as he's on fire. That moves you, and that's what moved me back in the 80s when I was looking at my brother-in-law and this one woman I knew at work who changed from the most evil people I ever knew, brother-in-law, a heroin-dealing biker, to my co-worker at work, a promiscuous, like cougar, as they call him today, I guess. Both of them became strong Christians, and that affected me. That changed. I wanted to know that Jesus. And so I just got into the Bible and studied it daily until all of a sudden it started making sense, and then bam, I had that conversation with him that one day, as you all know. And, man, praise his mighty name. And so when they see the peace in us, as everybody else is going crazy out there in the world, they're starting, because I still get the emails every now and then for people, well, how do you get this peace? How come this doesn't bother you? What's going on? Because my Lord's coming. You know, during all this, it could also be something like a statement we make that plants a seed of truth in the heart of a stranger, or just a forgiving, love-filled smile that moves a spouse or a stranger to join us in this walk in Christ. And you don't have to be an ordained minister to do this work. All of us have been called of Christ to reflect his righteousness unto everyone he sends our way. And notice what was, and I'm going to close with this, because we'll pick it up next week if we have internet, or if I have a computer. notice what Sister White said back in 1910 on March 24th. So you do the math. It's a certain amount of, because March 24th was just last week, I think, or a week before. Notice what she says here. Review and Herald. Oh, I'm going to put it in the room. I'm sorry. Copy. Look at that. Word actually saved, for some reason, recovered unsaved file. I don't know why it says that. Temporarily stored. Why couldn't my audio software do that? The video software does it. It'll save every minute. But anyway, check it out. It says this: the members of God's remnant church in this our day depend too much or too largely on the ministers to fulfill the commission of Christ to go into all the world with the gospel message. You know, that's why James White died. He died young. All the work was on him. She says, many have seemed to lose sight of the fact that this commission, you know, from Christ, the Great Commission it's called, this commission was given not only to those who had been ordained to preach, but to laymen as well. And then now listen to what she says. She says it is a fatal mistake to suppose that the work of saving souls depends alone on the ordained ministry. All who receive the life of Christ are called to work for the salvation of their fellow men. With that said, I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. And so, and because we can't do music and we can't do anything because everybody else is on internet and I'm the only one directly connected. If you could please kneel, we'll finish in prayer. And then I'll check to see how the internet is. Hopefully you guys can do the 5 o'clock or even testimony. But then it's almost 3, so please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for these trials and these smiles during these trials. Thank you for getting us where we need to be so that we can do this work for you and glorify you and grow in Christ. Thank you so much for helping us overcome, even in the little areas. But some of us have some real whoppers to deal with. Move them to fast, Father. Move those who are having a hard time with drugs, alcohol, nicotine, porn, whatever the case may be. Move them to fast those things just to show them they can do this in Christ. But they have to also accept Christ as true Savior. Move them, because we can't save ourselves. We can try to get as best as we can, but unless we really study the Word daily and make a commitment to Christ, fasting ain't going to help either. But for those Christians who have already are walking and are just struggling a little bit with this or that, help them too. Help us all, Father. We need to overcome. We want to go forth and glorify you. We know the rain's coming. You can see that just by the way the political leaders are so scared. They're doing everything they can to cripple mankind's ability to share their faith. And thank you for blessing the remainder of this Sabbath day. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.